Excellent.
So I would say that for episode 2, I was a little lukewarm, right? Like last time. I freaking loved this episode.
Yes. Excellent.
Like, really, really loved this episode. Like, I feel like I was reintroduced to what I loved in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have been sending me in some feedback. So I will give a special shout out to Kathy, Mrs. Soup, who was telling me that the second episode, what was it called? The Train Job.
That's right.
That was written because, like, Fox executives and stuff didn't like the first one. It's like it's kind of, I think that's part of why it's got this like weird, maybe out of place feeling, because it was kind of like an afterthought is what I've got like kind of gathered from it.
Yeah, yeah.
So doesn't surprise me, because like I really loved the first like double part episode, and I really loved episode 3, but didn't like episode 2 as much. Like I kind of just liked it, but this one I absolutely loved it, right? Because like straight from the get go, like, crazy stuff is happening, right? Like everyone's playing that like space basketball game thing, and then all of a sudden there's like, oh, there's an alert, and then there's like a dead guy against the window, and then there's this big ghost ship, and it's like, all right, we're back in then, are we?
Yep.
It's one really, it got super creepy super quick, and it got like straight into the action, which I really liked. There wasn't a lot of like preamble as there was in the second episode, right? Like I feel like the first episode had this, you were straight in with the action, you're straight in with the action here as well. And I feel like that they told way more in this episode than just 45 minutes of story. Like I feel like that there was just like so much going on. Like the scenes and the setup, it was so good. Like the super creepy ship, right? Where like everything is like kind of untouched, and it's just all these people are gone. But like there's no like hint of any harm, and just like it looks as if like everybody just got up at, like halfway through the day and just left the spaceship, right? It's awesome.
Yep.
I enjoyed the running theme of the episode with Simon. Like, it has a really great payoff at the end. Like, how he's first really super, like, freaked out by Mal and Zoe leaving the ship, right? Putting on the spacesuits and leaving the ship. He's kind of like, oh, like, that's all it is between you and space. Like, he wasn't very comfortable with that.
Yep.
To the point when Jane tricks him, right?
Mm-hmm.
To come on board the alien ship with them, right? And then he puts the suit on wrong, right? So if he actually would have gone out into space, it would have killed him. To right at the end, when the way that they escape the agents is by putting the suit, like him
and that's true.
River.
Oh, yeah, I never put that together.
On,
yeah.
And they're hanging on the outside of the ship, right? Like that's the payoff to that story, which I really like that as like the thread that run through the episode with his character. I feel like that again they've gone back to telling more of River's story now as well, which we hadn't really seen too much of yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's some telekinesis going on here with her. Like, she could sense a few things. Like, she could hear the screams of the ship's passengers. So she boards the ship, right? Like, unknowing to anybody else. And then later on, when, like, the Reaver is on board, she's able to sense when he's doing crazy stuff and, like, that he's in the room when they're trying to hide out from the agents. Like, she could sense all of that, and, like, she could hear it and stuff. Like, we were given the impression of, like, we were given the audio that she was hearing in her head. So, like, that's starting to, like, there is something going on with her from, like, a paranormal telekinesis thing. There's some kind of thing that she's got that, like, these, which is what I expect these agents are trying to look for with her. They're trying to work out how her brain works, and so they can harness this power. That's where I think they're going with River right now.
Mm-hmm.
They also went back to showing their scavenging routes in this episode, right? Like, they hit the mother lode, they found all those crop growing stuff, but then they see the horrific like rat's nest of bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Being hung from the ceiling of the ship. That was kind of creepy. It was super creepy. Oh, again, bringing back something else I think I was talking about from the last episode, which is Wash and Zoe's relationship.
So good.
There's so good. One point he says, "What's going on?" And she says, "Not now, dear." Yeah. I think they're on the radios.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
I was like, yeah, she is totally the boss in that relationship. Like, and I love that they're flipping the as I say, like they're flipping the traditional gender roles that are shown in these types of shows, right? He stays on board and he waits for her, and like she's just like, oh, you're too emotional, you're worrying too much, right? Just leave me be. And I like that. I like that. And they have some other great moments, like when the agents are asking them questions and stuff, and she's just like, no, I'm not talking about him, and he's just legs. You got the line.
Yeah, yeah. So she says, you know, she's like totally stone-faced, right? Just a total badass. And she says, completely stoned, you know, or completely stone-faced, we're very private people. And then they like flash cut to Wash. She was like, oh, it's her legs. Her legs are the best. And when her legs come up and meet her butt, like, oh, it's just hysterical. Like that yin and yang of the two of them. Oh, that whole montage of them all getting interviewed by the Alliance guy was just so well done. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not literally peak Firefly, but it's like that's a really good case study of what I love so much about the show, is that there are so many different characters that are so unique. Well, I think of them as unique. I'm sure somebody can. Well, actually, they're all the same type or blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I think they're so unique and so interesting. And that is like a 2 or 3 minute just clip of what I love about this show.
There was some interesting character development in this episode as well from Mal. So, like, there's this whole scene where they're trying to work out what to do with the dead bodies, right? And Shepherd Book wants to give them a funeral. And he seems to show compassion by letting that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he later on says that it's also a way to keep everybody busy because there's a booby trap.
Right, right.
But he does seem genuine in the idea of like where I think it was Jane just wanted to get rid of them all. He's just like, no. Like allowing Book to want to do it properly.
Yep.
So I thought that was an interesting character development moment for him. But yeah, there is we find out that the ship was boarded by Reavers and they're responsible. Right, and I should mention as well at this point that there is a hostage, right? There is a hostage that they have taken, right? Someone that they found on the ship. It was a little guy who attacked Jane, and Jane thought he was like this huge dude, right? Which is hilarious. There are many moments in this episode where Jane is shown to not be as like tough and manly as he thinks he is, and it's usually like someone like Kaylee or Inara who's pointing this out to him, which is kind of funny.
Yep. One of the things I wrote down was Jane is such a baby when it comes to Reavers.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that there's really good reason.
Sure.
But, like, he is the one who seems to react the harshest to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, there's this booby trap that if they then detach from this ship that they boarded, they will blow up, right? So, like, Kaylee is sent down to go and deal with that. And then once they do, an Alliance ship shows up. And it's like game over, right? Like they think that they're done. But it turns out, which was a good twist, is that it was just a routine check, right? They're still in trouble because they are wanted by the Alliance. But the Alliance weren't pulling them in because they knew it was Firefly. They're pulling them in because they're like, what are these guys up to scavenging this ship? And they are a little bit like suspicious during the questioning, so they take everybody on board. And here we go again with my bi-weekly interested in Inara corner. So the agent wants to know why a, quote, woman of stature like Inara would travel with the crew. So a woman of stature. So that's an interesting phrase again, right? It's another way to describe the companions. So this profession is considered to be a lofty one, right? Like it is a respected thing, it would appear, right? And we find out a little bit about the fact that, like, why this relationship exists, that Inara gets to use the transport vessel of Firefly, which she finds for good for finding clients and then traveling to them. And then what Mal gets in the return is the good attention for his ship having a companion on board. Or at least this is the official line that they'll tell each other. And they do a really great payoff to this scene where the agent, so like Inara gives that response and the agent says, "So do you love him?" And then when the camera turns away, he's actually talking to Zoe about Wash.
Yep, yep, yep.
Right? But you immediately are like, she's talking about Wash.
Yeah.
But you immediately just jump to, oh, must be talking about Mal. So I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, it's on the surface, it's kind of a cheesy, like, it's not surprising that this was done, but yet it was surprising and it somehow worked in a way I don't think it would have in so many other like movies or films.
Yeah, it's just because you're expecting it so much, like it's set up really well and it's paid off very well. Something I found interesting was that whilst he didn't lie, Book obfuscated the truth to the agent.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really feel like something befitting a holy man.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And so, like, I don't think this is necessarily saying something bad about him, but what I do think is it's illustrating his emotional connection that has developed for the crew, that, like, he doesn't want to get them in trouble, especially River.
Yep.
Right? But it was interesting to me that, like, he is trying to... CG in the chat room says it's definitely not by the book. I feel like, you know, whilst he is a man of religion, right? Like he is a man, I assume it's like a priest, you know, that kind of idea.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a, you know, not just practices the faith, like teaches it to others. And is like kind of not necessarily lying, but not telling the full truth when questioned. Right, so I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, with no spoilers, I feel like we're starting to get a hint that Shepherd Book is not exactly what he seems, and there's a depth to him that you wouldn't expect.
I feel like that those things have been peppered. You know, like the way that he has treated and seemed to change treatment to Inara, like that there is a lot to this guy that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah,
but this was definitely one thing.
Yeah, it and when he was checking out like the Serenity originally, and Kaylee could tell he was like looking the ship over because he understood what he was looking at. Like, there's more to him than meets the eye.
So the situation with the hostage has gone worse, right? The hostage has been taken aboard the ship, and the agent mentions to Mal that the hostage's tongue has been cut down the middle, which is similar to the treatment that independent soldiers would use for torture during the war. Because the agent knows that Mal is a soldier, was a soldier, right? Was a sergeant.
Which, really quick aside, one of the great lines of this episode that I wrote down was... The Alliance guy says to Mal, you know, something along the lines of, what did it feel like to be on the losing side? And or maybe the wrong side. I forget how it was phrased. But Mal says to him, I may have been on the losing side, still not convinced it was the wrong one. Which is such a good, like, subtle, you know, screw you, but in a, you know, ostensibly polite way. So good. It's some of the writing in the show I just freaking love. But anyway, I'm sorry. Carry on.
Yeah, so the agent thinks that Mal is to blame, right? That, like, he's killed all the people and then has, like, tortured this guy. But actually, turns out that, like, Mal goes on this big, like, psychological monologue about, you know, the horrible things this person must have seen watching the Reavers, like, torture and kill all of the people that they knew. The only way to get out of it is to become one of them, and that they are now defacing their body, like, to look like one of the Reavers. And then it cuts to Reva dude is starting to kill doctors, right? And it's like red alert, to the point that like they end up with the agent and with Mao working together to find the Reva. Right, so they go together and they try and find the Reva on the Firefly ship, and it ends up with Mao saving the agent's life when the horrific looking Reva, right, we get some shots of the dude's face and it is just nasty as hell.
Yeah,
tries
super
to
gross.
Attack the agent, and Mao saves him, and so the agent lets them go after taking back all of the cargo. And that's kind of where the episode ends. And I really liked it, right? So obviously in there as well is something I mentioned earlier is Reva sensing the Reva's presence. I thought this was a really great episode because it continued to advance the characters in ways that is interesting to me. Like all of the things that I'm finding interesting about the characters, we're seeing more of it, right? And so some of these themes are like, what's going on with Reva? What is Inara and Mao's relationship? What is a companion, and how does that work in this society? So learning more about Inara, and also what is Book up to, right? Like, who is this person? And also continuing the burgeoning love stories of Mao and Inara, and Kaylee and the Doctor, Simon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I liked all of that, and there were plot twists, and there was interesting tidbits of information, which I didn't know yet, and a ton of suspense and action. So I really, really loved this episode.
Yeah, I thought this one was really great as well. It is not one of the ones that I reflect upon when I think of the show. There's a couple of episodes that mm-hmm. we haven't seen yet that I'm like, when I think of Firefly, I think of those episodes, right? I'm not saying they're necessarily better than this one, but this is not one of the ones. Bushwhacked is not one of the ones that I reflect upon when I reflect upon the show.
I mean, that fills me with more and more hope for how the season will progress.
Well,
because I like this one so much, you know.
Yeah, and some of the ones I'm thinking of, like even giving you the title will kind of give some things away, and obviously you can mm-hmm, see them mm-hmm. in iTunes, but I just don't want to go there. But some of them that I'm thinking of, they're not necessarily as good, but in some ways are more memorable because maybe they're funny or something like that. But this is definitely a good episode, and actually might be the best like single serving episode of all of them, in that it has a very good balance, as you've been saying this whole time, a very good balance of everything, of the action, of the suspense, of the character development, of the really good dialogue, of the humor. It's a really good smorgasbord of everything. And I think it accomplished that very, very, very well.
So until next time, Casey-less.
Yes, the next episode will be Shindig, and we will talk about it in a couple of weeks' time. But between now and the time that most of you have listened to this, we will hug each other, and it will be excellent.